Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bet Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. If you're listening on audio, welcome, welcome back. Nothing has changed for you. But if you're watching on YouTube, hello. This is what we look like. Might be a surprise for you, a pleasant surprise, or maybe not. You can get Mark Langdon's Bet Club on video this year. Mark, it feels like we've been talking about football. It's just a continuation of you know, goodness now, isn't it? I've ploughed through big kickoff. I feel ready. I feel excited. The season has yet to start, and yet so much has already happened.
Yeah, as even just before we come on to talk about this show, you know, it sounds like Harry Kane, could be off to Bayern Munich. Certainly, Tottenham, it appears, have agreed a deal with Bayern. I mean, you know, I'm struggling to speak at the moment, Jack. The Spurs fan in me is struggling to compute a minute with. With no Harry Kane. But you're right, I mean, we've already had a sacking. Lopetegui's, mutual consent has departed Wolves. There's a lot of business still to be done. So I think in terms of anti-post bets, like if you're looking at, say, the top four, for instance, like Liverpool need players, Chelsea need players, you know, you would say Tottenham, particularly if they sell Kane, need players. I'm still not sure Newcastle, given they've got Champions League as well, whether they've done enough business. So Manchester United, have they got enough goal scorers in the building? So, there's still a lot of work to be done by a lot of these big teams. You would say, really, Arsenal are the ones that have got the business done early and are looking in a good place.
And this is what makes it so difficult, Mark, isn't it? I mean, not only for the first sort of couple of rounds of fixtures, but as you mentioned, the anti-post betting. I mean, you and your team have tried to construct a 1-20 in the Premier League. I mean, it's just an impossible task when there is so much still to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even sort of last night, you know, Man City trying to buy Pacatar from West Ham has a huge impact on West Ham potentially. I mean, I'm looking at somebody like Chelsea and thinking, at the moment, that midfield does not look good enough to finish in the top four. But if they get Caicedo and, say, Lavia in there, you're looking at an almost completely different team. So, you know, we are where we are. I think, you know, anti-post-wise, you've got to think about sort of what you think teams might look like in a couple of weeks' time. And, for that part, you know, I've got Sheffield United at the moment finishing bottom, even below Luton, and somebody like Brighton, they could be dark horses maybe for top four. If Caicedo goes, how much does that disrupt them? They're probably the best recruiters around, so maybe not so much. And then as the odds on favourites, Man City are just looking down on everyone thinking, we're okay. Lost Gundogan, lost Mahrez. So they've got to replace those, but they won it, I felt, quite easily in the end. I mean, Arsenal were clear of them, for a while, but it was done, wasn't it, with three games to go. So they give everybody a start. I'm not sure they were even that fussed about the first half of the season and still won it. They average over the last 6 years 91 points. If they get 91 points, do I see anybody in this Premier League getting to that level? No is the answer.
Well, it doesn't sound like it, but our job here on Bet Club is to try and provide some degree of clarity ahead of your weekend betting. If you're new to the show, we'll be picking the brains of Mark for every Premier League fixture. We've got EFL guru Dan Childs to spin us through the EFL fixtures. And Mark, this year, a bit more of an emphasis on bet builders. And so much has changed with rules. I mean, we've already seen the start of the EFL, and already there, I think there was an extra 5 minutes. If you take an average of every game, each game was roughly 5 minutes longer through added time. And not only does that bring probably more goals over the course of a season, but also more cards. So more things to be aware of if you're punting on the football.
Definitely. I suppose it all depends, though, on whether this is just like a 1 or 2 week thing and then, you know, the referees ease down on it. Because we've seen these kind of things come in before where there's a target at the start of a season, the referees go hard and then they ease off. I think in terms of the cards, I'm all for it. You know, if people are time wasting, if people are back chatting referees, the easiest, quickest way to deal with that is to dish out more cards. But I think it is going to be a focus for a lot of people's betting, certainly in the early parts of the week, more goals. But the one that I took from it was that we might get a kind of yellow card clamped down early on. So that's going to feature in my bet, certainly this week.
And in terms of the first couple of game weeks, Mark, how do you approach your betting? Are you a bit more conservative, or do you think you can spot more sort of discrepancies in prices and you go a little bit stronger?
I certainly don't go weaker in the early weeks of the season, Jack. When I ease off, actually, is the end of the season when, you know, you're kind of clouded by who needs to do what and kind of is team A trying, a team B thinking about the sort of upcoming trip to Magaluf or whatever it is. So that's when I ease off. At this stage of the season, I actually really like it because there isn't as much kind of data for the bookmakers to go off in terms of previous starting prices. And, you know, after 6-8 games, you get a picture of where everybody is. Early on, to me, it feels very much like my opinion, you know, your opinion against the bookmakers. And yeah, I like that.
Well, I'm really excited to hear your opinions. We've got a few cracking fixtures to get through. We'll start with our big match. And it's Chelsea against Liverpool. This one's Sunday, 4:30. The prices at the moment, 15-8 Chelsea, 7-5 Liverpool, 13-5 the draw. Mark, I suspect the opening question for a lot of these fixtures will be, who do you think has done the better business so far? And obviously, even at time of recording, may be different to when people are watching this. But at 11:15 on the 10th of August, what squad are you liking the look of more?
Liverpool. You know, Jurgen Klopp has even mentioned this, hasn't he, Jack, that last season, everyone was telling him, you've got to change your midfield. He's changed the midfield and people are going, you've changed it too much. You know, what are you doing? So, look, I tend to think experience, know-how, all that type of, you know, what the Henderson, Fabinho bring. Milner, I tend to think it's a bit overrated. I'm more about what you actually do on the pitch. I mean, maybe they've lost one too many just in that regard. And they didn't want to sell Henderson, did they? It was only really the fact that, you know, Saudis came in, made an offer that Henderson had got his head turned by. And then you do have to say cheerio. But in terms of what they've brought in, Szoboszlai was seen as definitely, you know, one of the Bundesliga's strongest talents, somebody that should be well suited to what Jurgen Klopp wants to do. And I also think that McAllister is just in terms of value for money, absolute quality. You know, and I can't believe he was as cheap as what he was. A standout player for Brighton, played well at the World Cup. If you'd said to me, like Enzo Fernandez went for, was it about 100 million, and McAllister's gone for about, you know, a third of the price or whatever it was, you know, in which one's the better value? And you already know that one of them can do it in the Premier League. I think he's a fantastic signing. I still like what they've got up front. I don't think they've lost any of the important players. You know, Firmino departed, but they had more than that. You know, Gakpo was already bought in to replace Firmino ahead of time. You know, Alexander-Arnold came to life in terms of playing that hybrid role in defence and midfield. Actually, if you want to bet on most assists, he's somebody that I like the look of for this season, round about 8-1 each way. I think he's already finished in the places three times in that market previously, so that might be one to look at. Chelsea have done well in terms of the players that they've got rid of, because they certainly needed to get rid of some. I just think that they've maybe sold a couple in like Mount and Kovacic, just left them short in an area that's key. Now, if they bring in the players that they're being linked with, then that rectifies the situation. And I still think in terms of the forward play, like, is Jackson the absolute answer there? I'd say we don't know in terms of whether he's going to be the number nine. So if you want to be winning the big trophies, I think that maybe they need another centre forward as well. So I'll go for Liverpool as we speak. But you know, I might need to do a voiceover at about 6 o'clock tonight where I say, hold on a second.
I guess Chelsea fans already going into the season with a bit of a sour taste in their mouth with Nkunku is already out injured. And I think on the Chelsea website, they said for a sustained period, which you never really want to be hearing, do you?
No. I mean, you're looking at 3 months plus, it sounds like, did it on that terrible pitch in pre-season. He was looking lively, season before last, he was the Bundesliga's player of the year. He, I think, was going to add a new dynamism to that Chelsea attack, could have played off the front man or as the front player or in the wide positions. And, you know, there wasn't much fanfare about his arrival because the deal was done in January rather than, you know, if it was done in sort of July, everyone would be really excited, I think. So it is a blow. You've got people like Raheem Sterling and Mudrick that, you know, last season did not show their true ability, or if that is their true ability, then, you know, Chelsea have massively overspent on them. So, I mean, you what you're, as a, if you're a Chelsea fan, you're hoping that last season was just too bad to be true in terms of, like, you know, three different managers, just lack of cohesion in terms of what they were trying to do in the transfer market. And all of a sudden, you bring in Pochettino, you settle down, Fernandes, Sterling, Mudrick, players like that show their true ability. Reece James and, Chilwell are back from, from fairly serious injuries, or sort of definitely injuries that stopped their season at various points. So I think that's the hope as a Chelsea fan, not necessarily who they've bought in, but maybe the fact that the second season for a lot of those players can just be stronger because there's a more settled environment around the whole club.
Just in terms of that Liverpool kind of front three, Mark, that seemed the positions that were chopped and changed the most by Klopp last season. Obviously, Firmino's departed. Diaz will be fit. He spent a lot of last season out injured. How do you see that kind of lining up on opening day?
Yeah, so I mean, I think over the season, it'll be, you know, horses for courses and certain games for certain players. I think if it was a Champions League final, I think they'd go Nunez through the middle. I think they have Luis Diaz on one wing and Salah on the other one. I just wonder Chelsea away whether Klopp thinks that he maybe needs sort of more in the midfield area, particularly as that's where they're light at the moment. And Gakpo kind of plays centre forward, but then drops deep and, you know, more in like how Firmino did it. And maybe that's what's required, away to Stamford Bridge, on the opening day. So wouldn't be surprised if Gakpo featured. But I'm excited for Nunez. We mentioned it last year, just how chaotic he was as a player. He is the sort of player that might, again, second season, he's had a bit of time to settle in. If he got 20 goals this season, I don't think I'd be, surprised. You know, he was somebody that probably left a lot on the table last year. So, but I just wonder whether away to Chelsea is the right play to, you know, to be so aggressive. Maybe he plays all four. He's played 4-2-4 before Jurgen Klopp. He might think that that's where his strength is, but that wouldn't be the way I would be going, I don't think, for that game.
Yeah, really excited for this one. I think this is going to be Peter Drury's first game on commentary for Sky as well, isn't it?
He doesn't lack for poetic license, does he, Peter Drury? Yeah. I'm just worried about Peter Drury when it comes for, you know, Luton v Bournemouth and 0-0. But in this type of game, it'll be fine.
Mark, what's your best bet for this?
Yeah, so I'm going to go for a draw. It's so early in the season. I feel like both teams would be happy enough if it finished, level. Chelsea, no Nkunku. So where will the goals come from? A lot of pressure on Jackson to deliver. And as far as Liverpool are concerned, they are favourites, at Stamford Bridge. So
does that surprise you?
Doesn't surprise me because, you know, Chelsea were so bad last year. And so I think you can't just have blind faith that Pochettino turns it around. But they did only win, six away games last season in Liverpool. So for them to be favourites at Stamford Bridge and to back them is maybe a sort of leap of faith too far. So the draw around about 13-5 is where I'll be backing. I know punters don't like backing the draw, but I wouldn't be surprised if this is level after 65 minutes. Does either team risk winning with the fear of losing? I think take a point, move on. It's a decent enough start.
Okay, good stuff. Let's take a spin through the rest of the Premier League action. It all kicks off Friday night, 8:00. Burnley host Manchester City. Really looking forward to this one, Mark. Watched a lot of Burnley last season in the Championship. We know what Manchester City are all about. I think the interesting thing with Burnley, there's no one talking about them in terms of potential to go back down, and you often at least have a discussion of the newly promoted sides in that relegation market. Heard nothing about Burnley. Obviously, lots of people really sweet on them.
Yeah, well, they won the Championship very easily. You'll know more than me, Jack, as a Norwich season ticket holder, but to me, the standard of the Championship last season wasn't great. And
Awful,
so
yeah.
We do, you know, that would be the fear for me. But, you know, you look at how well Fulham did last season, and, you know, you want to say, well, why can't Burnley kind of do that, even if it means maybe a slightly lower position? But no, I mean, I had, you know, Burnley finishing about 12th in my 1 to 20. So, you know, I'm kind of one of them hipster type people that's got Burnley doing quite well this season. Not a great start for them at all, you know, against Manchester City. I'm going to go for City to win and under 3.5 goals. Four of City's five opening wins last season, if you have a look at it, were unders. So I think if you're going for it, in terms of this bet, Pep Guardiola, you know, he doesn't sort of get the team fully wound up. So four of City's five games away last season when they won were under under 3.5 goals. So they only had eight shots in that Community Shield against Arsenal. So I think that City will win, but I don't think they're at full tilt yet.
Just a word on Mr. Haaland. How are we expecting his season to pan out after the antics of the last campaign?
I'd go for fewer goals. I'm not saying much. I still think he'll win the Golden Boot. I think he'll win the Golden Boot easily enough, but maybe not to such dramatic effect. And what I would say is that in Alvarez, you know, Pep Guardiola needs to start playing him at some stage regularly, because he's too good not to play, and they'll be wary of the fact that, you know, they won't want him to be upset, and that he needs game time. So maybe Haaland's minutes will be managed slightly even more conservatively. But yeah, I think he'll win the Golden Boot.
OK, let's move on to the early game on the Saturday. It's Arsenal against Nottingham Forest. Mark, you mentioned at the top of the show, in terms of getting business done early, Arsenal have impressed you most. I was speaking to a Forest fan the other day, a little bit concerned with their dealings, a couple of injuries plaguing their squad at the moment, and still probably a squad that isn't fully settled after last summer's transfer dealings. How are you seeing this game panning out?
Yeah, so I'm going to go for Arsenal to win and over 2.5 goals, around about 4-7, which won't feel like amazing odds, but all 14 of Arsenal's home wins in the Premier League last season were also over 2.5 goals. And Forest did show some attacking ambition as the season went on away from home. They scored in six of their last seven away matches, so they might be able to contribute. Even if they don't, Arsenal are the type of side, even without Gabriel Jesus, that can, you know, rack up a score. I don't expect Arsenal to be any worse necessarily this season. The one caveat is, how does the Champions League impact on their sort of Premier League form? Because in the Europa League, you're able to rest more players. But I see Arsenal. I've got Arsenal and Liverpool very close in terms of who finishes second to Man City this season.
OK, good stuff. Sorry, if anyone can see me peering down to my left, I'm reading the big kickoff, which I'm still referring to at most points. So apologies for that. We'll get on to the Saturday 3 o'clock fixtures, and we'll start with Bournemouth against West Ham, Mark. Bournemouth doing some transfer business in the last couple of days. Max Aarons looks likely to come in from Norwich City, as well as Alex Scott from Bristol City, who had a cracking season last campaign. So dipping into the Championship transfer market to try and find some value, I guess. West Ham selling, but not particularly buying too much. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I think obviously West Ham will hope to improve, you know, their kind of squad as the summer goes on. As it stands, I don't think they're in good shape at all. I'm going to go for Bournemouth to get off to a winning start. Iraola, the coach, a disciple of Marcelo Bielsa. It could go wrong. There's no doubt it could go wrong for Bournemouth. And if it does, they might be relegated. But by the end of last season, I felt that they were a team, you know, they had a lot of investment in January. They've continued that in the summer. I just don't see them as little old Bournemouth. I've backed them on the Premier League handicap this season. And if I think that they could get somewhere towards mid-table, you know, I've got to be fancying them, you know, to beat West Ham. And you know, I was looking at West Ham's pre-season, you know, beaten 4-0 by Leverkusen, 3-1 by Rennes, even that win over Tottenham that they won 3-2. The stats, 32-7 in terms of the shots in favour of Spurs, 13-4 shots on target, 73-27 on possession. You know, West Ham could, at the end of August, things, you know, you've got Ward-Prowse in and Maguire, and you know, and things have calmed down. They look okay as it stands. They've lost their best player in Declan Rice. Paquetá is wanted by Manchester City. You know, they haven't done enough business, and yeah, I like the look of Bournemouth.
You mentioned pre-season there. How much do you read into those games?
Not a huge amount, but I just think that last one is usually when you start, you know, thinking about what you're going to look like the following week, isn't it? And so when you get tonked 4-0 by Leverkusen, that doesn't bode well. It probably almost is certainly like some sort of confirmation bias. You think West Ham, you know, haven't signed well. They lose 4-0 in pre-season. Therefore, it means more than, you know, if they had signed well. Yeah, so I think it's a fair point to raise, Jack. You shot me down.
wasn't the intention, Mark. Brighton, Luton. Brighton, one of the standout sides last season. Luton, miraculous effort to get out of the Championship. And I think most people writing them off, I'd say probably the one narrative that seems to be false at the moment is everyone saying Luton have to win, you know, have to make their home form really good. And actually, if you look at the form from last season in the Championship, Luton's home form wasn't that good. It was their away form that kind of got them up in the end. So don't read into that too much. Luton have a big task on their hands this season. That's undoubted, Mark. I guess a brief thought on how you see their season faring and then a bet for this match.
Yeah, I've got them finishing 19th, which is better than the bookmakers would assume for them. I think they've signed in Chong and Giles, players like that, you know, ones that will be good in the Championship next season if they do, as expected, get relegated. I think their physicality, probably more than that home form, I think it is that physicality that might sort of catch a few Premier League teams by surprise, because not many play like that anymore, you know. And so it's a slight throwback. They'll be unashamedly physical, and I don't think that they should move away from that, you know, put balls in the box and see if they can unsettle teams. In terms of Brighton, I've got them finishing eighth at the moment, but I wouldn't be that surprised if it was actually a better finish than that. And for this game, I'm going for João Pedro to score first each way. He looked very lively in pre-season. He was a good Championship player. And he also looks like he's on penalties with McAllister gone. He scored a couple of those already in pre-season.
Well, that's pleasing, Mark. I've got Pedro in my fantasy team, so that's confirmed. I'm onto a good thing. Let's take a look at Everton Fulham, Mark. And it feels as if Everton have been sort of hanging on for Premier League survival for a good few seasons now, and plenty tipping them that this could be the one where they do drop into the Championship. Do you see that happening?
I've got them finishing 15th.
What gives you optimism more than most then?
Well, I think Sean Dyche did okay when he went in there. I like their midfield. I think Onana is somebody that can get better. Garner did well when he came in. Iwobi has got some nice touches, possibly a touch inconsistent. But, you know, Idrissa Gueye in the midfield as well. Pickford, in terms of kind of the analytics, had a very good season. So, you know, they're good in both boxes if Calvert-Lewin is fit, and he wasn't fit for, you know, for much of last season. I think there'd be a different team if they can get Calvert-Lewin, you know, just going again. In terms of this game, though, I've gone for under 2.5 goals. Doesn't sound like Mitrovic is going to play. Obviously, he said he's never going to play for Fulham again. He's not the sort of player that can just be easily won round, I don't think, you know, if he doesn't get that move to Saudi Arabia. If you're looking for a correct score, my best bet here is under 2.5 goals. But if you're looking for a correct score and a bigger price, 5 of Everton's 6 home wins last season were by a 1-0 scoreline. So that does play into my under 2.5 goals. It might be worth a second look.
Let's take a look at Sheffield United against Crystal Palace. Now, I think because Luton came up, you know, everyone was talking about Luton and they would be the team to finish 20th and they would be the worst kind of team in the Premier League this season. In terms of poor summers, Mark, I mean, Sheffield United have to be up there, don't they? They've lost a few key players, a bit of uncertainty at kind of board level. It went up automatically last season, but there was a fair distance between themselves and Burnley. Are you concerned for Sheffield United?
Yeah. I mean, I've got them finishing rock bottom at the moment. Again, they might spend the Ndiaye money and Berger money you know, really well. And, you know, they suddenly look a different team at the end of You know,
I mean,
all
that's two big players to lose, though, isn't it?
massive,
And particularly
massive.
Berger to a rival.
Well, I mean, I was looking more at the and Dye because he was second in take-ons in the championship last season behind João Pedro. And, you know, he was somebody that already said how good he is, and the fact he's gone to Brighton, I think, shows you, you know, how talented he is. He was joint second in goal creation actions. He was it 24, 25 goals and assists combined? I mean, that is a
He was
hard
stunning,
player
yeah.
it's a hard player to replace. They've also lost some loanees that they had last year. I mean, I wouldn't say you could argue. I mean, they're a weaker team now than they were when they went up from the championship.
Yeah.
And here's a question for you, Jack, because you've got your finger on the championship pulse. Would you say Sheffield United would finish in the top six in the championship this season as their squad stands?
No, I wouldn't. I think that, well, the championship this season is stronger. It'd be interesting to get Dan's thoughts on this. I would say that there's six stronger teams in the championship on paper. I know in context it's slightly different, but yeah,
yes.
I think you're right.
So for this game, I'm going Palace, draw no bet. They're not an amazing team, Crystal Palace. You know, we know that. We know what they are. They're not going to change. They're going to be kicking around mid-table somewhere, I imagine. They've lost Zaha. Elise's injured, but they've got Eze. They might not win the game because you do wonder where the goals will come from, but strong enough defensively to keep a clean sheet or at least sort of keep the score down. And then it's just whether Eze provides that moment of magic. So Crystal Palace, draw no bet.
Good stuff. That's all the Sheffield United fans unsubscribed. Saturday, 5:30, Newcastle Villa. This is a tasty one, Mark.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Aston Villa or draw, double chance. Two defeats in 15 at the end of last season. You know, Unai Emery, very good at setting a team up not to lose matches, you know, strong defensively. And I'm not sure there'll be a huge distance between these two teams come the end of the season. So I'm going for Newcastle to fall backwards slightly, mainly because they've got the Champions League and, you know, all that brings. But also because Aston Villa are just a difficult team to beat. And so I don't really want to be sort of steaming into Newcastle odds on to win this game. So I go Villa or draw, double chance. I think the draw is a big runner.
A couple of games on the Sunday. We've already previewed one of them, the other, Brentford Tottenham. Now, just before we went on air, Mark, the news that the bid for Harry Kane has been accepted, around 100 million euros, I think, from Bayern Munich. And now it's all up to whether Kane wants to leave. I guess, will he be playing Sunday? What's the latest?
Do you know, whether he plays or not doesn't change the bet that I'm looking at here, which is both teams to score. Spurs are going to attack, whether Kane's leading the line or it's Richarlison. Obviously, it matters in terms of, you know, one player is clearly better than the other. But football's about more than individuals. Under Postecoglou, throughout pre-season, They've been on the front foot and they've been scoring a lot of goals in pre-season, been having a lot of shots, which I think is probably more important to kind of their philosophy. Defensively, you know, conceded way too many goals last season, 63 goals conceded now. You know, they have made some signings. We'll have to wait and see whether Udogi, Van de Ven and also Vicario in goal make a big difference from that. You know, I just see Tottenham as a fun team to watch this season, not something you said under Antonio Conte, Mourinho or Nuno. I can see both teams scoring. And we know that Brentford, even without Ivan Toney as well, are going to put balls in the box, very strong on set pieces. It caused Tottenham a lot of problems in the two matches last season. I'm going for both teams to score.
Where are we at with Kane? Take your journalist betting hat off. As a fan, what do you want to see happen?
I want to see Harry Kane stay at Tottenham for one more year as a fan. As sort of a neutral observer, I think if you look at it and go, you're getting 100 million for somebody that's likely to leave for nothing in a year's time. You've got a new manager who might be able to invest and sort of, you know, just send Tottenham in a different path. You know, the jokers will be saying, well, you can't win fewer trophies, you know, because they didn't win anything under Harry Kane. My personal opinion as a Tottenham fan is that there's no money, you know, realistically in the world that I'd rather have for the club than just having a year of watching Harry Kane play football for Tottenham.
Okay. Fascinated to see how that one develops. And hopefully if he does stay, doesn't pick up an injury in that opening game. Monday Night Football, Manchester United against Wolves. A few people getting quietly confident about United's chances this year, Mark. On the flip side, Wolves in a funny old state.
Yeah, I mean, if you go through United's sort of strongest 11, you know, it does look good, I think. Onana, then maybe sort of Dalot at right back, Varane and Martinez, Luke Shaw. You've got a really strong midfield, Casemiro, Bruno Fernandes, Mason Mount. You know, and then in the wider areas, you've got the choice, haven't you, really? Jadon Sancho, you've got Garnacho, you could play Rashford out wide. Where does Højlund fit in at the new centre forward? So I think there's a lot to be positive about for Manchester United. My concern is that they only scored 58 goals last season, that a goal difference of plus 15, that's really not good enough if you're a team that wants to maybe challenge for the biggest trophies. In terms of this game, it's not a strong fancy, but I'm going to go for 2-0. I think this is more coincidence, but Man United scored 2 goals at home in 4 of their last 6, including a 2-0 win over Wolves. I mean, you know, Wolves lost a lot of good players, lost a very good manager. I think they might be relegated this season.
If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. There we go. Some nice angles from Mark there. I hope you jotted them down on your notepad. The EFL is already underway. That means Dan Charles has been beavering away with some best bets for you. Let's go on to that now. Well, it's always a pleasure to welcome Dan Charles to the show. He'll be talking us through all of the good things in the EFL. We're going to be starting a bit of a new strand on Bets Club, EFL Team in Focus. Now, you can have the opportunity going forwards to pick the team that you would like to see Dan talk about more in depth. We'll be starting with QPR. Now, Dan, in terms of a club on a downward spiral, it's difficult to find one more so than QPR at the moment. You look back to kind of 10 months ago, they were flying high at the top of the Championship. Now they're occupying their life down near the bottom of the table. What's gone wrong at Loftus Road?
It all seems to have gone wrong, doesn't it, since Michael Beale left the club. Neil Critchley went in there. He's done a good job, you know, before when he was at Blackpool, gone back to Blackpool now. He couldn't kind of turn them around. Gareth Ainsworth then went in there and had a bit of a slow start, eventually did enough to keep them, had that remarkable victory away to Burnley as part of that little mini run that they had. But the underlying problem, I feel, that off the pitch really is there's not enough investment going into the team. You go right back to when Tony Fernandes ended his period as ownership. He actually sold the last of his shares this summer, which isn't really a very good sign. And you look at what's they probably needed to strengthen quite a bit in the summer after the near only got 50 points last season, and it's gone the other way. You look at the spine of the team. You've lost Senny Dieng, the goalkeeper's gone to Middlesbrough. Rob Dickey, you know, influential centre backs, left as well. And players coming in. I mean, they've got Paul Smythe, the winger who used to be at QPR, has come back from Leighton Orient. But you're kind of looking at that, recruiting a player from you know, what was a League Two team last season, and you wonder kind of where they're going. I think the fans were concerned before the season even started. I had them down as 24th. I went through my list of Championship teams. I don't actually think Ainsworth is a bad manager, but I think he's gone into a tough situation there. And while I couldn't really see the scale of the defeat at Watford, the 4-0, I'm not surprised that they lost the game.
Yeah, you mentioned then the heavy defeat on opening day. It feels as if, I mean, it's very early stages to say this, but the Championship in general is a stronger league this time around, Dan, as well. So that's not going to help them.
It is. I mean, I would say that in the Watford game, they weren't helped by injuries. I mean, they had two of the centre-backs, Jake Kirk, Clark Salter was out. Jimmy Dunn, who's quite a progressive, you know, a decent young centre-back coming through, he was out as well. But the issue is, you're going into the first game of the season, and just because you've got two of your centre-backs out, you're playing Joe Gubbins, only his second Championship game of his career, Morgan Fox, left-back, who's coming from Stoke. So you've got, you know, just two injuries and there's no squad strength there at all. Now, what I would say this week, they have made a push and they've signed Steve Cook from Bournemouth, who will bring leadership and a bit of steel to that back line. So that'll make a difference. But I just think they are still short in a lot of areas. And I think it'll be a long, hard season for them.
Who would you say are most likely to be with them down at the bottom there, if you were to make an early pick?
I think Huddersfield are going to struggle as well, not just off of their result at Plymouth last weekend, losing 3-1. I wasn't surprised at that again. Kind of a bit of a threadbare squad. They had a change of ownership, and you're thinking, go on then, go and strengthen the squad, because they were a bit short of numbers and quality last season. But very, very little has happened on the recruitment front. Neil Warnock stayed, which, I mean, you could say he's got all the experience in the world, but then you think, well, with a new owner coming in, is that a progressive step? It's almost like a sign that he's still there, kind of firefighting, if you like. So while he has a big short-term impact at this stage of his career, not sure. So mine, it may not even be his fault, might not be the issue with the manager, but the fact that he stayed there tells me that there's not really a long-term plan there at the moment, and they could struggle.
Tough season for those guys. Dan will be bringing us his best bets throughout both the Championship, League One, and League Two during the weeks on Bets Club. Dan, you've got three this week. We'll start with your Championship pick.
Yeah, I mean, the other side of that QPR loss to Watford was how impressive Watford were, and I'm going to go with Watford to win again. They're around 8-11 at home to Plymouth. I think that's a pretty decent price. I mean, everyone's going to look at Watford and think, well, you've lost Ismaïla Sarr and João Pedro, two big, big players, but they've brought in another new manager, Valerian Ismail. I watched his first interview. I watched a lot of Watford, and I've got to say, I was very impressed with him. He came across extremely well, talked a lot about more discipline at the club, greater intensity. Now, you can often say these are buzzwords that every manager is going to say, but Watford, there's been good signs in pre-season that they are playing with greater intensity and desire. They were on the front foot right from the off against QPR, scored inside the first minute, were 4-0 up by half time. Now, they did go to Stevenage in the EFL Cup on Tuesday and lost on penalties, but the Stevenage away is one of them really, tricky kind of cup ties. So I'm not going to read too much into that. I would focus more on what they did last weekend. They've still got quality. Imran Lusa in midfield is a top-class player who looks fully fit again. And I think Plymouth, who were very strong at home last season and started off well this season, I think they'll struggle away from home in the Championship, and Watford should be too strong.
Okay, Watford up first. Who's the next best bet?
Next best bet, I'm going to go with Bolton away to Cheltenham in League One. I think Bolton are started off at home to Lincoln, which is the Lincoln are a kind of a tough nut to crack, draw a lot of games, but Bolton beat them 3-0 at home last weekend, which is a very good sign. They've recruited well as well, Bolton. I think they'll be pushing, trying to get towards the top two this season. Cheltenham have kind of, they look weaker to me than last season. Alfie May, I mean, he got 20 of their 45 goals last season. He's left to go to Charlton. Not good signs early in the season. They lost sort of 1-0 away to Shrewsbury. I'm expecting Shrewsbury to struggle, so that's not a good sign. Then they lost 2-0 at home to Birmingham in the Cup. The shot count for that was 22-2 in Birmingham's favour. Now, that is a bit of a worry, I think, if you're a Cheltenham fan. I know it's early days, but I think Bolton at home looks a tough game for them at the moment. Bolton to win that one.
Okay, third and final.
I'm going to go stay in League One, go with Wigan at home to Northampton. I mean, Wigan have got this 8-point deduction that they want to wipe out as soon as possible. Made a great start last weekend with a 2-1 win away to Derby, one of the promotion favourites. Charlie White got two goals. I mean, he's a really top striker for League One level, will probably be effective at the level above. They have got still quite a bit of sort of championship ability in the squad. I like the manager, Sean Maloney, as well. I think they'll have a strong season, Wigan, despite the 8-point deduction. And Northampton, they've come up from League Two. I don't see a lot of strengthening there at the moment. They've brought a couple of players in, not really League One players, League Two players. I think they're going to have to strengthen a lot more Northampton to have a decent chance of staying up. Good barometer was their first game at home to Stevenage, another newly promoted team. They lost that 1-0. It looked a fair result on the stats and the match reports. Then when a Swansea lost 3-0 in the EFL Cup. So tough start for Northampton, and I think Wigan will be too strong for them.
Okay, so we've got Watford, we've got Bolton, and we've got Wigan. They're Dan's best bets this week. Dan, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Jack.
A big thanks to Dan, as always. You can find more of his work and all of the other brilliant stuff that Mark's team produce over on Racing Post Sport. So that's on the website. Loads of good stuff on there. Let's get on to some bet builders then, Mark. I know plenty of people, going into the weekend footballing action will have an acca, and they'll probably have a bet builder if they're sitting down and watching one of the games. And I know you're keen on them as well. So talk us through for one for this week.
Yes, I'm going to go to the game on the South Coast, Bournemouth against West Ham. Bournemouth to win basically because West Ham at the moment don't look ready for the start of the season. And, you know, they struggled last season. They've lost Declan Rice and could be losing Pacatar as well. And the signings have been slow. So I'm going to go for Bournemouth to win the game. I'm going to go for both teams to have at least two players booked. This comes down to the fact that likely to be a clampdown on time wasting, back-chatting referees, etc. And I think referees like to put their sort of stamp on things early on. And then the final leg is over 8.5 shots on target. And this is all down to Iraola, the new Bournemouth coach, somebody that has kind of followed and believes in the Marcelo Bielsa philosophy. His Rayo Vallecano team in Spain were, I think he actually said that he likes the team to be chaotic. you know, he doesn't like all these kind of slow build-up, slow processes. They're going to go at teams this season.
Does this mean works, Darwin Nunes is the next signing then?
Yeah, maybe. But I think it's exciting for Bournemouth fans, or at least until they maybe start losing a load of games. And what you have got with West Ham is talent in that final third. So, you know, Bowen, obviously the hero of the Europa Conference win. You've got Fornals, you've got Benrahma, you know, somebody like Danny Ings has remained at the club. Antonio is a threat in behind, and there might be space in behind as well. So, and I also think set pieces, even if Ward-Prowse and Maguire are not signed in time, are the type of thing that West Ham are going to target against a side like Bournemouth. So, I'm expecting goals, I'm expecting cards, and I'm going for a Bournemouth win. Yeah, I've also got a couple of cards bets as well outside of the Bet Builder, Jack. I don't know if you want me to go through.
Absolutely, I do. Well. Yeah.
So Ben Chilwell, I just saw he was 9-2 to pick up a card against Liverpool. Obviously, likely to be marking Mohamed Salah, so that is a difficult task in itself. In his last 11 games of last season, he had 3 yellows and a red. Yeah, he comes across as quite a nice lad, doesn't he, Ben Chilwell? But there's a nasty streak to him. And then Colton Morris, player you'll know, Jack. I mean, if you have a look at the fouls he committed, most fouls for Luton last season, he picked up the most yellow cards. He's 13-5 for a card. You know, they're not going to have much of the ball against Brighton. It might be frustrating for Luton. And what Brighton like to do is to get forwards to come in and close them down and then play around them. I just wonder whether that might bring about a card or two for some of those Luton players that are likely to be on the aggressive side.
And if you're a new viewer of Mark Langdon's Bets Club, you will know from last season that we were very successful. I say we, Mark was very successful in picking the shots on target bets as well. We might be dipping into those later on in the series, Mark.
Yeah, we definitely will. I think I just wanted to get a grip on, you know, if players have moved position and stuff like that. I wanted to get a bit of data behind me before we got into those.
Absolutely. Should we get a treble up for this week?
Yeah, make mine a treble. So Arsenal and over 2.5 goals for their game against Nottingham Forest. Every Arsenal win last season in the Premier League featured at least 3 goals. And I know Jesus is out, but still a lot of attacking talent in that Arsenal team. Also like in League Two, MK Dons to beat Tranmere. Obviously, MK Dons sort of burst the Wrexham bubble in spectacular fashion last week. They've got some good players for League Two. Yeah. Standard, actually. I thought they were unlucky to go down last season. Got somebody at the door, Jack. Always somebody. this will be a feature.
The joys of working from home.
This will be the feature of the podcast. There's always somebody looking to deliver something to the house. So we've got Arsenal and over 2.5 goals against Nottingham Forest. I've got MK Dons to beat Tranmere. And then finally, on Sunday, both teams are scoring Brentford against Spurs. And Postecoglou's team are just going to be very attacking this season. And I think that's going to bring about some problems defensively, but make them really exciting when it comes to, you know, attacking in the final third.
Brilliant. And if you were to have one bet this week, Mark, what's the strongest one? Give me a map.
Yeah, so it's that game. I was going to say Griffin Park, but I'm showing my age there. It's at Brentford. I've already mentioned, really, that I think Tottenham are going to be end-to-end this season under Postecoglou. If you remember, his Celtic team had sort of issues early on. They're adapting to the style. They conceded 63 goals last season. And from Brentford's point of view, I haven't spoken much about Brentford for this bet, but they scored in all bar two of their home games last season and caused Tottenham a lot of problems without Ivan Toney last season. So I don't see that changing this time around.
Excellent. There we go. The first video bets club. How did you find it?
I prefer the audio only. There's a lot of pressure involved in the video, isn't there? But yeah, I'm sure we'll get smoother as it goes on.
And you wrote a little column in Big Kickoff Mark about how excited you are for the start of the new football season. Is that still the case, or is it tiredness starting to seep in?
No, fully refreshed for it. Went over 50 days without watching a 90 minutes of a football match from the Champions League final to the start of the season. So, yeah, I'm good to go, Jack. Yeah, buzzing for it. Can you not tell?
I can, absolutely. There we go. Thanks for watching this week's edition of Mark Landers Bets Club. We'll be back every Thursday. If, as I say, if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and you fancy watching the video, head over to the Racing Post YouTube channel. There's plenty of other brilliant content on there that you can get stuck into. Mark's got plenty of selections. Please only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. Stay safe, enjoy the football, and we'll see you again next week for another episode of Mark Langland's Bets Club.